When you're working on your mental health, sometimes the smallest rituals make the biggest difference. That's why we love Three Spirit, award-winning non-alcoholic elixirs designed by plant scientists and bartenders to help you feel good in every sense. Each blend has its own mood. Social Elixir helps you to connect and feel uplifted. Livener brings energy and focus without the crash. And Nightcap soothes your mind and body into real rest. Instead of numbing out, these drinks help you tune in, whether you need connection, energy, or calm. Head to us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the code THISWAYIN for 15% off your first order. Three Spirit, crafted for your mind, body, and balance. Hello and welcome to our first main episode of This Way In podcast. I'm Amy and I'm here with my co-host Whitney.
Hello.
And today we talked about emotions. Mm-hmm. And Brittany kind of laid out why emotions are there, what they're for, how to not be afraid of them, how to understand their cues, mm-hmm. and things like that. And what do you think are the big takeaways from what we talked about today and what you explained?
Big takeaways, basically, emotions are just signals. They're there for a reason. They're trying to help you, guide you on your journey of life. And they're either there for your stress response is on, or they're saying things are good. So emotions are literally just there to say, keep going, or you got a problem, figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. We also talked a little bit about meditation.
Yes.
And how to calm your actual body, which mm-hmm. helps calm your mind.
That's right.
So it was a good conversation. So, and we also talked a little bit about what we're going to do next time. But mm-hmm. you'll hear that in a little bit. I hope you enjoy it.
Enjoy, yes. So a lot of the time, people really struggle with why we're even feeling emotions. And we have emotions for a reason. That's what I always say. And they're like, what's the reason? Okay. Well, emotions are really just signals. If we break it down even further than they're just signals, emotions come from our autonomic nervous system. And that is what just keeps our body automatically going, our heart beating, our breathing, all the automatic stuff that we don't have to think about. And so in the autonomic nervous system, we have the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system. Sympathetic turns on activation, parasympathetic turns it off. So anytime we have any emotions that are big and exuberant or whatever, they could be, you know, people like to call them good or bad, positive and negative. I don't call them that. They're either stress response emotions or they're not. So the things we want to be feeling, happiness, joy, calm, these things that we like, those are not from the stress response. We still get activation in them, but it's not from stress. It's from excitement or joy, or, I mean, these are good things. The excitement, joy, of course, are emotions, but it's these are things that we want. Stress response emotions come anytime our limbic system, which is a collection of parts deep in our midbrain, like the hippocampus, the amygdala, those types of parts. Anytime the limbic system picks up on any real or perceived threat, a real threat is anything that can hurt or kill us or people we love. A perceived threat is anything that's just going to make life harder. Like, I've got this deadline for work and I don't know if I'm going to meet it and the boss isn't going to be happy. That's perceived threat. However, the stress response does not differentiate between real or perceived threat. It's all the same in the limbic system. So anytime we have emotions turn on because of stress, those are stress response emotions. The things we don't want to feel, anxiety, depression, anger, jealousy, those things that we're like, what's the purpose of this? Well, they're all signals. The things we want to feel, those are just signals that say, hey, things are great. Keep doing what you're doing. Then the stress response emotions come in, and these are signals that say something's not quite right here. And sometimes it could be huge, immediate red flag things like, there is an actual grizzly bear in my face. I need to get the hell out of here. Stress response is really on. We really feel it. But then there is other things that are like, you know, I've got this deadline, but I'm almost done with it. And if I can just, you know, tweak my schedule. I can make it work. It's not as immediate. It's not as intense. We can keep doing what we're doing, but there's still the signal there, like, come on, you got a deadline. You got to meet this. So the bottom line is emotions are just signals that say, hey, things are good or things aren't good. Just like the dashboard of a car. If you don't have any lights, things are good. If a check engine light comes on, well, that's an immediate thing. You probably should check that out. If it's a low tire pressure, well, you probably should check that out pretty quick, but I don't know if it's an immediate thing. Mm-hmm. So really, the level of intensity of our emotions tells us how big and immediate of a problem we have.
Okay.
So that's it. Emotions are simple. They're there for a reason, just to say things are good or things aren't good. If your emotions are saying things aren't good, let's figure out what's not good. Let's get this fixed. Emotions can resolve. We're back to feeling those emotions we want to feel. Right. Deadline's passed. Everything went well. Boss is happy. Woo! I'm going to go crack a cold one and I'm going to celebrate. Right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to guess that I already know the answer to this, but is it not possible that sometimes our brain tells us that something is a goddamn emergency when it really isn't?
Yes, absolutely.
And how do we tell our brain, calm down a little bit, girl. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. You're going to be fine. Is that because I know our brains lie to us sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. They're not trying to lie to us. Right. Then that's where the perceived threat comes in. And a perceived threat, again, is anything that's just going to make life harder. So our perceived threats are very unique to each one of us. We generally have the same sort of collective experience with perceived threats, like, oh, I'm going to get fired. Everyone's like, ah, you know. However, if I don't care about my deadline and I know my boss isn't going to fire me, well, if I'm late on this deadline, who cares? Whereas you might be like, I got to get this done on time because I'm just not going to feel good if I don't do that. Mm-hmm. So that's where the perceived threats come in. With the stress response, anytime we have these stress response emotions, anger, sadness, depression, whatever, our bodies gear up to fight, flight, freeze. And that's really the stress response. So we get super tense. Most people feel it in like their neck, their shoulders, their upper back, whatever. Heart starts beating faster. We breathe in more shallowly. Our digestion speeds up or shuts down, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And so the body is literally geared up to fight, flight, freeze. When we logically understand that this perceived threat isn't that big of a deal, but we're freaking out, our bodies are hyped up. The only signal that the limbic system is going to hear to calm down is getting the body to physically relax. Mm-hmm. So if we're all keyed up and, yeah. Okay, breathe. Exhale, first of all, just let it out. Take a nice, easy inhale, and then exhale more slowly. Exhales get our heart rates to slow down. Inhales increase our heart rate, so exhale more slowly than your inhale. A lot of the time, if you notice that you're tense, what you want to do is when you breathe in, instead of imagining your air going into your lungs where it actually is going, all that air is going right into your tension. And then when you exhale, all the tension goes right out with it. Do that for a moment or two or three. Get your body to relax, then you're going to feel emotionally calmer too. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only signal, again, that the limbic system is going to hear, unless the threat resolves. But if our bodies are calmer, our stress response is calmer. Honestly, just taking those deep breaths right there and exhaling, I'm feeling physically calmer where I was just a little hyped up before. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Just I'm a little excited.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, that's better.
Yeah, I agree 100% with the breathing and, you know, even meditation.
Yes.
I started doing meditations during COVID sometime. I was mm-hmm. bored and I was taking classes online for everything I could think of, mostly psychological stuff.
Right on.
And I took some stuff about meditation because I always thought, first of all, I thought it was hooey. Uh-huh. Secondly, I thought there's no way I can do it. My brain races too fast. There's no way I can pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true in the beginning. But the more I did it, and the first time I did a meditation where it actually worked,
mm-hmm.
as soon as I realized it was working, I just started sobbing.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even realize. I was like, why is my face wet? It was so weird, but it was such a cool feeling. And I felt like my body felt okay.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I had literally had a sore neck for like 2 years.
Oh, geez.
And wow. I think there was something that was in my mind or something that was creaking my neck for so long.
Oh, yeah.
I did massage therapy. I did, and nothing helped. Ugh. Sleeping different, sleeping with pillows, sleeping with no pillows. Mm-hmm. And then after I started doing these meditations, it all went away.
Wow.
But so I know I always tell people, try meditation. You're like, right. Everybody says that. Blah, blah. But really, uh-huh. There's a reason everybody says that.
That's right.
It's, and now I sometimes have trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. And now I do these nighttime meditations where, again, you breathe, like you just said, you breathe yeah. in. They have you hold it for a little bit and mm-hmm. then breathe out longer than you breathed in. So like breathe in for 5, breathe out for 6.
Yes.
And that alone just makes, I feel like my body turns into jello and just melts into my bed. And then
that's
I'm like,
nice.
Okay, now I can go to sleep.
Yeah.
And my mind stays calm for a little while. Not
too long.
8
yeah.
hours. But mm-hmm. But yeah, so that anybody out there who is like tired of people telling you to do meditation, just try it.
Yeah, just try.
I mean, and it might not work the first couple times because your brain, mm-hmm. if it's like mine, is going, why are you even trying this? It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing that? I'm going to interrupt mm-hmm. you. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. Look over there. Don't forget this. And it mine did do that for mm-hmm. quite a few times before yeah. I really got it. And mm-hmm. once I did, I was like, holy shit. Why haven't
That's
I been
right.
doing this forever?
Yeah, because it is a practice. You're absolutely right. And it is hard to get into if you've not really done it before. Mm-hmm. Our brains are made to wander. So if thought goes mm-hmm. here, thought goes there, that's the way our brains are made. Mm-hmm. The purpose of meditation, though, isn't to clear your mind. Mm-hmm. That's what people think. It's to fully focus on one thing. Mm-hmm. So if you're focusing on just your breathing, which is mm-hmm. what I often recommend because that's easy. If you notice a thought, hello thought, goodbye, focus back on the breathing. Hello thought, goodbye, focus back on breathing. Mm-hmm. It's not just trying to ignore it. It's acknowledging and then yeah. re-acknowledging, going back to where we started.
Yeah.
So this is mindfulness, really. And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't like the term meditation. Mm-hmm. So mindfulness, really, is another word for it. Mm-hmm. And we all get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like mind the gap, you know. We all yeah. understand how that goes.
Right. Pay attention.
That's right. Exactly.
It's really what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I first started doing the meditations, they would say, if a thought comes into your head, acknowledge it mm-hmm. and set it aside and go back to your breathing.
Yes.
And that was really hard to do at first for mm-hmm. me, but now it's much easier. It's mm-hmm. much easier. I know that if it's something like, oh my God, you forgot to take out the trash, it will come back to me. And mm-hmm. even if it doesn't come back in time, no one's going to die because I didn't take the trash out this week.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. really nothing is as earth-shattering as I think it is in that moment when my brain goes, oh my God, you forgot. Oh my
That's
God,
right.
don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's fine.
It is. You're right.
You know?
But that's where the perceived threats come in. Because mm-hmm. what are the implications if you don't take the trash out? Mm-hmm. And it's those implications that are the perceived threats. Well, then it's not going to get picked up in the trash. And then we're going to have trash piling up. And we're going to have to pay for a giant, you know, dump truck to come and pick up all of our stuff. I mean, it cascades sometimes. Not like that's what's happening for you in that moment. But maybe it's like, oh, my husband's just going to be disappointed that I didn't do this. And that's bad enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I should probably mention that a lot of our emotions come from the different branches of the stress response. So in the stress response, there's fight, flight, freeze, or shutdown. So when we're in fight mode, that's anger, irritation, frustration, annoyance, being irate, just any flavor of anger. And that those emotions help us to fight physically, emotionally, verbally, whatever. Then we have the flight response, and that's worry, anxiety, fear, that flavor of emotion. And that gets us to avoid or flee from real or perceived threats. If we're avoiding a threat, well, that's our flight response. Not like we're running away from it, but we're not running towards it either. And then we have freeze or shutdown. So freeze is like deer in the headlight. We're just kind of stuck, immobilized. And then shutdown is we're like playing dead. We're You know, mm-hmm. we're literally shut down. And that's depression, sadness, that flavor of emotion. So fight and flight will turn on first. If either of those don't get us out of a bad situation, then it goes to freeze or shutdown. Because if we're stuck in a bad situation, it's better to play dead and just kind of get through it that way. Mm-hmm. So depending on what emotions we're feeling will tell us what branch or branches of the stress response is on. Mm-hmm. So if I'm angry, my fight response is on. That means I'm trying to get what I need, get what I want, or fight back against what I don't want or don't need. And so sometimes, like, if I get into an argument with my husband, it's because, like, well, you're not listening to me, or I'm not getting what I want out of our relationship, or, you know, you're not pulling your bargain, like, you're not doing dishes enough, or, you know, whatever. He probably says that to me more, but it's basically something's just not quite right here, and I'm fighting for what I need and what I want. If fighting with someone or something isn't going to work, like fighting off a grizzly bear, you're going to be running away. Mm-hmm. If I think a conversation with my husband or whoever, whatever, isn't going to go very well, then I might just keep it to myself and do things behind the scenes. And that's the flight response. Okay. Anything that's passive and behind the scenes, really, that's the flight. And then shutdown is I'm just not even going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to go along with it, or just we're not, because I don't have the energy. Mm-hmm. So that's another hallmark of our emotions, too. Some emotions will give us energy to do things, and other mm-hmm. emotions will zap our energy, and it's hard to do anything, even get out of bed.
Yeah.
So paying attention to what our emotions are doing physically and what they're trying to say, it really is our best guide to living our lives. Mm-hmm. So these signals are there for a reason. They want us to be on the right path. Our emotions come from us. They're for us, even if they don't seem like it. Like what you were saying earlier, like sometimes our brains lie to us. It's not that they're lying. It's just when we have different traumas and bad experiences in life, our stress response turns on more and more and more. And every time it turns on for a different reason, it's different, like, lenses of how we're seeing life. Okay. If I'm in a bad car accident, well, then my lens is cars are unsafe. I'm never going to be in a car again. Mm-hmm. If anyone tries to get me in a car, screw you. I'm not going. Nuh-uh. Flight response. I'm running away. Mm-hmm. If I can't run away, I'm cornered. They're really trying to get me in a car. I might start fighting back, fight response. But if, like, I can't fight back, I can't run away, then I might just be, like, crying, like, just don't make me do this. You know, I don't want to get in the car. They get me in the car, and I'm just, like, in a ball. I'm just, I can't even talk. I'm comatose, whatever. I'm that afraid. I just shut down. So with that example, every time, again, we go through something bad, a trauma, a bad experience, whatever, we have these more and more lenses. And sometimes our glasses get to be really telescopic and it skews how we're seeing things. Mm-hmm. So it's not like your brain's lying. It's just looking at it from a lot of different lenses that muddy the picture.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, we have rose-colored glasses. Sometimes these traumas are like shit-colored glasses.
Yeah.
So that's probably the best way I can describe it. It's, okay. Again, our brains are there for us. They're trying their best. Mm-hmm. But that's when, you know, mental health becomes an issue, too, is when all of our perceptions are so skewed because of these experiences. It's really hard to stay in reality. It's really hard to trust, like, what's going on around us, trust other people. If they tell us, you know, I'm not trying to be mean here. I want to problem solve and, you know, express this to you, but you're being so mean to me. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not. So, you know, when we come across other people and we have this experience, that's just our cue that they've had a lot of trauma or bad experiences or whatever. And then they're filtering it through all of those shit colored lenses.
Yep.
It's hard to remember that when our emotions are going off, like, right. She's not listening to me. She's taking me the wrong way. You know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's so important to pay attention to what's going on within us. The more we can pay attention about us, the more we can understand other people, too.
Yeah. Especially if we can see a behavior that we see in someone else, we're like, oh, I recognize that. I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what she's thinking.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, again, I'm going to beat a dead horse here. I do this a lot just because emotions are just signals. They're neither good nor bad. They just are. saying things are good, keep going, or things aren't so good, you have a problem to deal with. Mm-hmm. Better figure that out, pay attention, whatever. So if anyone that are still saying like emotions, well, maybe just kind of sit with your emotions and ask, what are they signaling to me? You might be surprised what message you get.
Hey, I love that. Embrace them instead of throwing them out.
That's right. Embrace your emotions. They're there for a reason. They're your guide. Yeah. And that's a lot of why we chose to do this podcast, right? We wanted to help guide people. And this was the way in to helping people understand what was going on within themselves. If we start with our emotions, I think we'll understand things more and more as we go along.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you said you wanted to start with this as kind of like part of the foundation of everything else we're going to talk about.
Yes.
In the coming episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a little bit of a plan. We're planning to do a series starting next time on the parts of self.
Yes.
So the first episode will kind of be like an overview of that whole thing. And Brittany will walk us through all of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. Yes. Just to give a preview of parts of self, we all have different parts of who we are. If we look at, say, a car engine, it's one engine, but lots of different parts that do different things. And they all have to work in tandem and the right timing and all of those things for it to be a well-running car. So in our brains, we have different parts of the brain, too, and they all have to be running in tandem as well. And so parts of our personality, it's one personality, lots of different parts, all have to be working in tandem for things to be coherent and, lack of a better word, healthy within us. So that's just kind of a preview of parts of self. We all have one personality, but lots of different parts.
Right. Right. That's so fun. I can't wait for you guys to hear this. It's going to be so cool. Yeah. I'm excited for these conversations because I love this shit. I just think it's so interesting.
Mm-hmm, it is. I'd say that our brains are a universe. Every single person has a universe in their head because we are just that complex and our parts of self are that deep. And I could go on, but I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. All right. Well, join us next time for that beginning of that series. I think you guys are going to love it.
This Way In is a conversation about mental health and everyday well-being, but it is not therapy. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapist-client relationship, and the information we share is for educational and entertainment purposes only. If you're feeling overwhelmed or struggling with your mental health, please reach out to a qualified professional in your area. Never delay, disregard, or change professional recommendations or advice because of something you've heard here. And please remember that any views expressed are our own and don't represent any licensing boards.
This Way In is co-produced by Brittany Baxter-Dameron and me, Amy Lotzberg, at Collected Sounds Media. I also edit and manage the show, which is part of the Collected Sounds Independent Podcast Network.